Hey, thank you guys for reading Matthew chapter 6. Let's jump in with a study there as we're looking at some things. And I want to just remind you that as we're reading through this, Matthew chapter 6 is I am studying and learning on my own in my own personal life. I can just tell you that as much time as I have spent over the last year studying what we call the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually our prayer. The Lord's Prayer is actually John chapter 17. So if you've never considered that, the Lord's Prayer is actually recorded in John 17. And this is our example prayer on how we're supposed to pray. But I got to just tell you straight up that over just digging into the Sermon on the Mount has absolutely changed and transformed the way that I view this prayer example in Matthew chapter 6. And so we're going to be breaking things down, and we're going to be looking at things over the next multiple weeks because this is such an important passage of Scripture, just like the others. But I want us to just think about something, that each of us, down deep inside, we have a personal desire to be able to share or communicate the very essence of who we are as human beings. It's naturally within us. Now, some of you, you've convinced yourself that your personality type, that you don't need people, and you've done Briggs-Myers, you've done all kinds of things, and so you have kind of convinced yourself that that may not be true. But I just want to tell you that from what I study and what I see and what I've experienced, every one of us come into this world with the desire to be known. To be able to share our thoughts, our feelings, our struggles, our frustrations, and our needs. And I want you to look at verse 7 and 8, and I want you to see that right off the bat here, where this is just kind of mentioned. I don't want you to miss this because it's kind of in passing, but there's a reiteration that God knows where we are, and He knows what our personal need level is. And I don't know about you, but in my life, what's really made a huge difference in my life is, you know, I pray about big things, and especially when we come together collectively, when we pray about big things. Somebody's on the verge of death, or somebody's struggling with traumatic cancer. There's all kinds of things going on, and we collectively join together, and it's a celebration when we see God move in powerful ways, when there's healing that takes place. But I don't know about you, but in my own private personal life, when there's this little bitty teeny weeny Timmy desire or what I would consider need that I never tell anybody about, and I just bring it before the Father and I'm just kind of like, you know, I just want to share this with you, and not right away, but when He responds to that little bitty Timmy need that nobody else on the planet knows about, when He meets me there, it does something inside of me. It's like, oh my word, He cares about me. It's personal. And I just want to mention that as we jump into these scriptures this morning, that it really does matter who you are and what your need level is before God, no matter what. Now, I want to address something else as we get started. Why pray if He already knows what I need? Now, especially, hey guys, tune in with me, because you know more than the ladies that most of us as men really struggle with this component, whether you've ever come clean and been honest about it. So this part where we're studying in Matthew chapter 6, and it says, you know, hey, pray to your Father, but He says, makes a statement that He already knows what you have need before you ask it. A lot of times the way that we interpret that is, well, then why are we asking if He already knows what we need? And then He goes on to say that you don't want to just do like babble repetition. And it really what it comes down to, if you think about it this way, is sometimes that we think that if we are incessant with repeating something, and let's say I say something one time, but if I say it 1,000 times, then it's going to earn something greater, more powerful, or it's going to mean something more before God. And that's what He's trying to address here. He's like, no, God knows what you have need of. And men, let me just say this. It's kind of like the old adage men stopping and asking for directions. Okay? It's one of those things where basically, as men, in the way that God has wired us, being protectors, providers, and that whole mindset, most of us here this morning, As men, we have a difficult time asking for help. We want to help people. We want to respond to people. We want to be there for other people. But men, you understand that most of us have a difficult time saying, will you help me? Can you come along? Can you do this for me? And so part of what I love about this church family is that, especially the men in our church family, and the women are amazing. But when we're trying to do something, guys will just come out of the woodwork to help accomplish something. But then when they have this incredible need, and then when we find out about it, I'll say to them, okay, Sean. No, I'm just joking. I was just going to that side of the room because we got to stay. This side is off limits now. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. I'm not saying any names over here. The people that will not be named on this side. Okay. All right. Alan, you're kind of safe, but not really, because you're over here. All right. Good. All right. So it's one of those things that's like, why didn't you let us know? Because we would have loved to respond. Well, I didn't get it. I knew I'd get it eventually. Like, dude, that was 6 months ago. We could have helped. And I mention that joking around because we all, what I love about this church family is that we have a lot of men with the same makeup. And you know what that means? That most of our men are hard at work trying to make it happen, trying to help, trying to bless. And yet at the same time, please just hear me and then we'll move on. Is that we have to learn how to ask for help, because then that makes us a better helper. Because see, when we learn how to receive help, especially from God, then we're way more sensitive, way more tender, and way more in tune, and we're not wrapped up in ourselves when we extend help to other people. So let's move on. All right, let's jump into this. What I want to mention to you this morning is that secret, private, and heartfelt communication or talking to our Father in heaven is the type of prayer that we're discussing here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Now, I'm gonna hold this book up, Secrets of the Secret Place. We've been using this, and this book has just been, and it has been, and it's continued to be a huge blessing, a growing sense of spreading within our church family. We use this on Wednesday mornings. There's 52 short chapters, and I've got more people that are asking for this book and ordering this book. I want to let you know that a lot of amazing books on prayer are written by men that are already in heaven and that they are older writers. Bob Sorge is still alive, and you cannot write about the things that he's writing about when it's talking about the secrets of the secret place, when it's talking about prayer and communication, without experientially walking the path, living the life, and learning how to communicate with God. So I just want to mention that. It's an incredible resource. And so as we're going through this morning, a secret, private, that heartfelt talking. There's a level, please hear me when I say this, that when we're just venturing into this whole aspect of prayer and talking to God, there's a level of vulnerability and intimacy in this type of private conversation with God that's next to impossible for the average person to experience when other people are present. The real you alone with the real true God time. So I want to mention this, and because we're gonna talk about a couple things, I'm going to give you three different things this morning, but I want you to just consider this, that the type of communication that Jesus is trying to get us to understand, please don't view this separated from the beginning portion of his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to see this as a connected, collective teaching, and I want you to see how one builds upon the other. Because if you're like me, now that I'm looking at Matthew chapter 6 and what Jesus is teaching about prayer, I see it through a totally different lens than I did when I used to separate it from Matthew chapter 5. When I see all of this stuff that's going on and churning me up in Matthew chapter 5, now Jesus goes right into talking to the Father in heaven. Number one, he knows what he's talking about, because a minimum of 25 times in Scripture, if you've never studied it, there is a record of Jesus talking to the Father, communicating to the Father on behalf of other people, on behalf of himself, on behalf of the plan and obedience. So Jesus was modeling to the apostles what he was talking about. Prayer is one of the most blessed spiritual realities in the life of a believer. It is also one of those disciplines that must be practiced and experienced to understand it. Please hear me when I say this. You cannot study and evaluate prayer to understand it. Did you hear what I just said? You cannot study and evaluate prayer from afar to understand it. It must be practiced on the most personal level. You cannot just read about it. You have to do it. Some of you, the difference between what you're longing for and where you're living is that scary step of interaction with God on the most personal, private, basic level. The point where a lot of people are literally scared to death. Because there's a level of vulnerability and there is a level of transparency. So real quick, I just want to give you three things real quick. This type of secret place prayer time is very purifying. Now we're going to begin to break down these verses in a more succinct manner moving forward. But I want you to think about what he's saying when he says, this is how you need to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, holy, hallowed is your name. Now this is to be done in this secret private place, this place just between you and God. And so some of you this morning, this emptiness, this separation, this longing, this wondering if you are loved by God or do you have faith in him? Let me just tell you, one of the differences that will really transform your life is, and I'm so thankful that you're here and I'm so thankful that you're watching and participating, but what's going to make a big difference is when you really begin to step into that private, heartfelt communication process that we call prayer. Because that's when your faith is made alive, and that's when the reality of his presence and his love and his covering from you really becomes personal. I want to give you three things real quick, because I want you to see this, and I didn't understand it for the longest time, but this type of secret place prayer is purifying. Very purifying. Secret place prayer purifies first our motives. The process of secret prayer purifies the driving force of why we do what we do, our motivation. Private secret place prayer before God, like Jesus is talking about, really purifies our motives. Why are we praying and why are we doing what we do? Is it for other people to see us? Or is it because we believe in God and we need him? Number two, it purifies our mind and our heart. This process of private conversing with God purifies the wellspring of all that we are because who we are deep inside affects all that we do. That struggle with pride, lust, selfishness, those internal struggles, just like what it says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. We need to guard our hearts because it's the very wellspring, that very well of who we are and the things that we do. Prayer purifies our mind and our heart. And secret place prayer purifies the means. The process of vulnerable conversation purifies the dependent source of our strength. The means by which we attempt to pursue our obedient life of faith must be addressed in each and every one of our lives. It is his means or power, and it's not our own. Notice that the Father will reward us, not us rewarding ourselves. I want you to just see this analogy real quick. Where's the means? Where's the power? Where's the provision behind what's going on? This has everything to do with the means of provision. Now, I want you to look up here real quick because I believe for a long time that the living word of God purifies. I believe that there's two things, and I constantly am, it's just a basic thing of discipleship that I'm constantly trying to encourage people, because anytime I see somebody in their pursuit of God become committed to the word of God, I begin to see an immediate purification process, because Ephesians makes it very plain, use this as an analogy. It's like the washing of the water by the word. So there's this washing, this purifying effect. But one of the things that I didn't understand until I experienced it on the most personal level, the prayer also purifies. And prayer purifies in a different way than the word of God purifies. And so for what I see on a regular basis is that there's two basic things that every one of us in here have in common that we struggle with. Is it's our time in the Word and our time in that secret, private communion, communication process that we call prayer. So I want you to see, it's kind of like this. So you can see I've got some stuff inside that represents our insides. And if you just look, it kind of looks kind of, you know, just average, normal. Got some stuff in there. We all got stuff in there. But then what I have found is that when I begin to just get alone by myself, and I begin to just lay myself before God, and I begin to open myself up, and I take those steps of faith, and I begin to pour my heart out, and I really begin, and especially this is what's been taking place with me over the last month or two, is we're going through Matthew chapter 5, and I'm just like, Lord, this is hard. I don't get this. I don't understand this. Why? What's going on? I got all this stuff going on inside. And then I'm laying myself before him and I'm pouring my heart out. And it's just me. And I'm thankful that you guys can't hear me pray privately with God. You'd be like, we need to fire that guy. Oh my goodness. He's messed up. And because I got all this stuff going on. And then what I find is as I'm able to just take time with him, what he winds up doing is he allows me the privilege in his presence to just begin to pour out my struggles and part of who I am. Doesn't look near as clean, does it? But you know what? That's the beautiful purification process of secret, private communication with God. He knows who I am. He knows what my needs are. He knows what my battles are. He knows what my besetting sin is. Please hear me, brothers and sisters. The real issue is not usually how God views me and sees me. The real issue is, will I be honest with myself before him about what's going on inside of me? And for every single one of us, when we take that step of faith and we begin to do that, there is a purification process that begins to take place. Because if you look at this, and if you look at the sediment and the junk in the bottom of this already, you know what that says about this? This is already more pure than it was 5 minutes ago. May not feel more pure, may feel more pure. I don't know. But the reality is it's a different vessel than it was 5 minutes ago. Talking with God in private about all the issues and challenges of Jesus' teaching is exactly how we are able to submit ourselves to the will of the Father. I come before a holy God who is hallowed and supreme. Because of the precious sacrifice of my Savior and Lord, I am covered by his blood, and that is what the Father sees when he looks at me. I am righteous because of Yeshua, not because of my deeds. I am acceptable and lovely because of the Son of God alone. I must ask you something this morning. Does the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus Christ for your sin debt, I want to ask you, what does that mean to you this morning? Nothing? Something? Everything. We live in a world of distraction, and there is a world of distraction is for the forces of evil trying to create distance between us and our great God. The distance, it could be thousands of different things, but the distractions are to create this distance. And God the Father doesn't want you to feel distant from him. He wants you to understand his love, and he wants you to understand, just like what we've been looking at Matthew chapter 5, that it's not because we're better than anybody else, or it's not our righteousness. It's because of the righteousness, the blood that was shed by Jesus on the cross. It's a Father-focused relationship because of his Son, our Lord and Savior. John 17, verse 3. Jesus said this. How do you view eternal life? Did you just ask Jesus to jump into your heart so you don't have to go to hell and you escape judgment? That can be a great starting point. But Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Genuine, deep, and very personal relationship with God, and it's only through Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Seasons, you got 1 John 1:7? Sent me something this morning. 1 John 1:7. You want to stand and read that? How many of you got the verse today this morning? You're getting you version? 1 John 1:7. It's a great app, great tool. You want to read that out loud for us? Amen. A lot of you got that verse this morning. 1 John 1:7. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from a sin. Have you placed yourself in his hands? Is Jesus your way, your truth, and your life? What is your level of dependence on him? Is he somebody that you really need to have conversations with the Father every single day? Do you feel close enough to where that you can share the real you, your yuckiness, your struggles, your sins, your shortcomings, your failures? That's the type of relationship that Jesus is pushing us into as he's teaching us about prayer. So, Father, I ask you again, just like your followers ask you, we're here this morning and we need to learn how to pray. To truly pour out our hearts, our anxieties, our insecurities, our addictions, our struggles. Father, you know us. You know every single one of us. And I ask that there would be people that would renew. There would be people that for the first time, they would come to you by faith and believe that you can forgive because of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. We lay ourselves before you and we're asking you to do great and mighty things in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.